maybe see it if you can. You're just going to hang around and linger a little bit. You're welcome. I'm going to go back to the 10 principles that guide Christ's humanity. I think that if you'll, with the Holy Spirit's help, grasp these 10 principles, then you need to never know another thing in your entire life. Just spend feasting on each one of those things as the Bible teaches them and not as most represent them. I just can't stand saying that, which it sounds a little strange and it sounds a little bit exclusive and it's none of those things. But I just think there's been such an intimidation of Christianity by European religion that people are afraid to believe it's as good as it is. I'm astounded at how many marvelous, devoted, sweet-spirited men of God just feel like they're not going to get any results if they don't keep the people a little afraid. Feed them a little insecurity, please. Because I tell you what, if I told them about the love of God and how free they are, they're not liable to come to church next Sunday, and I'm going to tell you to your face the opposite is true. As the disciples said to Jesus, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life.
Right.
People will go where the juice is.
Yes.
And so you must understand these 10 things in context and not come to the table with an agenda and let them set you free and bless you. Folks, God wants to bless you today. Are you ready and willing to receive a blessing? Will you open your hearts this morning as you never have before and say, God, I need to be blessed. I want to be blessed. And I know you can't bless anybody who doesn't want to be blessed. So I just open my heart now and say, I'm here to be blessed today. I'm here to be blessed today, Holy Spirit. You can minister to me. You've already started a good work. Now we're going to take the word and just be blessed. I want that blessing. So help me, God, in Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to quickly read these 10, as reluctant as I am, then get to what I wish to say this morning. The 10 principles that guide Christ's new humanity. Number one, every believer is now of the Spirit, whereas they were of the flesh. This is not a positional truth. It's a practical reality. You were of the flesh. Now you are of the Spirit. And that necessitates a complete reorientation of your thinking process, because all of our thinking processes are natural and naturally of the flesh. That's why when you start talking to people about being good and they're good people, and you're going to confuse them, because they're immediately going to draw from the good that they saw on Aunt Tilly and Uncle Pete and how hard they've tried. And before long, you're going to have folks living a lie and you're going to have folks under pressure. No, 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 no. None of these things impress me. I was of the flesh. I'm now of the Spirit, and I'm out of my depths. And what is most astounding to me is there isn't anything about my flesh that can receive the smallest truth from the Spirit. As a matter of fact, in his Galatian epistle, Paul goes so far as to say that the Spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh lusts against the Spirit, that they are at war with each other. And that's not talking about church members fighting. It's talking about the fight in you. It seems to me you'd better understand the peace you get when you get saved. Because if you got saved to get peace, as in woo, 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 isn't everything wonderful, then you better not get saved. Stay and go to hell. Because you're going to be very upset by the fact that the only peace you're going to have is with God. As Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And he wasn't talking about the war of the worlds. He was talking about the system, the cosmos world, and he was saying, you know, I made a fool of it. I broke its power. I overcame it. But you're still living in it. You're going to have to take those rapids anyway. I built you a boat that can handle it. You don't have to be afraid of it tipping over. But you're going to have to take the rapids. And I'm astounded at how many people don't make that cosmic shift in their heads and say, I was of the flesh. I was a part of the kingdom of darkness. Now he has translated me to the kingdom of light. There's been a cosmos, a cosmic shift, and I'm in a different cosmos now. As a matter of fact, Jesus himself said, unless you're born of the Spirit, you can't even see that cosmos. That's why the Bible says, and I will labor this in a little bit, the just shall live by faith in the Roman epistle of the scriptures we read this morning. What was he talking about? He wasn't talking about lost people choosing to get saved, because he said the just shall live by faith. And we are the just in Christ. What was he saying? He was saying, even though you got saved, and even though in Christ you've been made as righteous as you can ever possibly get, you're still going to have to live by faith. It's still going to take faith. You're not getting to this place now that you're saved. You can just sit down and see it and figure it and plan on it, and it's going to just be lovely. I fear greatly, and this is something I've borne all my ministry, I fear greatly those in whose lives nothing ever happens. It just seems like they just are on a calm sea. Nothing ever happens. They never face anything. They never make any big mistakes. They don't make any small mistakes, it seems. They just sail through life, and everything is ordered and organized and planned, and there's flatliners, what I call them. And then they want me to believe that they're saved. And I can't judge them and say they aren't saved. All I can mumble under my breath is, I don't want what you got, because it scares me. It was about 3 seconds after I got saved, it all hit the fan. Yeah. And yes, I have the peace of God that partial understanding, but Jesus modified that. He said, my peace I give to you. Different kind of peace coming up here. Not the peace that the world gives, the cosmos gives, the old one you were saved in gives, which needs everything to go fine for them to be at peace. The salary's going to be coming in big every week. The house is going to be looking pretty. The vacation's going to be planned. The good new car's going to be in the garage, and the second one's going to be next. That's peace for the old cosmos. And we love that peace, every one of us. Consciously or subconsciously hope for that kind of peace and plan on that kind of peace. And I'm not saying it's a wrong peace, but it's still the peace of the world. Now, how wonderful when you're allowed seasons to enjoy the peace of the world, which is there for you to enjoy. But my peace I leave unto you, or I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give unto you, he says. You're going to have to stop your heart and your mind from going crazy in this whole world. That's your job. But it's going to want to. You're going to be corralling it like a dog that will not listen to the electric fence. So when I say under number one, every believer is now of the Spirit, whereas they were of the flesh, I'm not just saying something that has no practical reality in the Christian's life. I'm perhaps making the most earth-shaking, life-changing statement that any man of God can ever make. Talking to a people sitting in pews and saying, you know, I'm going to tell you something. When you got saved, an incredible shift took place. And it might not look like that to you right now or feel like that to you right now, but it has happened anyway. And it wasn't based on anything you could do. Nothing you could do to make this happen. It took the promised Christ on the cross to spoil those principalities and powers, take those handwriting of documents against us and those ordinances and get rid of them. It took him. And when that happened, such a thing happened that the sun stopped shining for a little bit, the earth shook, and there was such an upheaval. I love this part. There was such an upheaval in the spirit world at this death, burial thing and coming resurrection that folks who were dead and rotten and smelly climbed out of their graves. And I don't understand how they did it. They must have been in shallow graves or caves or something, but it says they climbed out of their graves with a resurrection body and walked around, and people said, "I went to your funeral last year." That's some scary stuff up in here. That's hard for me to believe. Surely there's a manuscript error. But there is not. You say, well, why did all that happen? Well, I'll tell you why it all happened. It happened to draw attention to the fact that something shocking has taken place. And the entire system that Satan was enabled to set up by the fall of Adam and Eve, whereby he had a prince of Persia and a prince of Egypt and a prince of Greece and all the rest of it, it got smashed. His hierarchy from the top to the bottom was destroyed because the basis for it was taken away. What was the basis for it? Condemnation. Oh, yeah. Whether it's the condemnation of the conscience in your heart or the condemnation of the law, Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. He died on that cross and said, "Now what do you think?" Amen. Your entire system of darkness has had a spotlight put on it. And what is more, I give my saints the power to use my name, and the smallest of them can overcome you. It changed everything. Now, no longer would you have to be circumcised and become a physical Jew. He said, "I'm going way beyond that. I'm taking the message to the Gentiles, and you'll become the true Israel of God by spiritual birth, something brand new." And it says he made of the two, that is the Gentile and the Jew, one new man. That wasn't a physical thing. That wasn't. It was a spiritual thing. That was the birthday of the new creation. Which is why he uses the term saints more than 60 times in the New Testament. We have now become those ones who have been sanctified as belonging to God. A new creation. The people of God. And number one says, every believer is now of the spirit, whereas they were of the flesh. It's just not the same. I'm living today in anticipation of something coming in the resurrection tomorrow. And I've actually experienced today what is coming tomorrow. I'll never be more righteous than I am in Christ today. I mean, the resurrection is not going to make me more righteous, make me more acceptable to God, make me more a son of God. It's not going to make me more spiritual. The only thing that's going to happen is that everything that is spiritual and invisible will break through that spiritual barrier into the physical realm, and my body and my soul will be quickened to match up with what's already happened in my spirit, and that spirit of mine, which is full of the Holy Spirit, will now have along with it a body and a soul full of the Holy Spirit forever. That's eternal life. And that eternal life abides in you right now, which is why the Holy Spirit is spoken of in many places as the earnest or the arabon of our salvation. Here's the down payment. Here, have this, 2/3 to come, like buying a house. We were of the flesh. But now we're of the Spirit. The Jews could never say that because it had not happened yet. He had not poured out his Spirit on all flesh. And don't you listen to these crazy Zionists who say there's coming this grand day when the Spirit of God will be poured upon all flesh and all Israel. Everybody's going to get saved. That is so inane and such an insult to the plan of salvation and the need to be brought to repentance and faith and to receive the love of the truth that you might get saved that I can't even address it. It's that stupid. I'd be so offended over that, what it took to get me saved. They just... Oh, they're all saved. I know. Wonderful. I'll tell you where they get it from. They don't understand that we are what was promised Abraham.
Amen.
And Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Oh. Well, he was talking about who knows how many thousand years in the future. And 1,000 years, talk junk to me. Because all you have to do is go to the Galatian epistle and see that the blessings of Abraham were received by him by faith, and we are blessed with faithful Abraham today.
Yes.
Look, when I buy a house and I put down a quarter or a third to buy it, and I get the deed, that's my house. It's not all paid for, but it's my house. And in a very important sense, legally, one day in 40 years' time, when I've paid, or 20 years' time, I've paid it all off, it won't be any more my house. It'll just won't have any more payments on it. It's still my house. The day he saved you, he made you a part of his new creation and suited you in Christ for the resurrection in the end, when the Spirit of God would quicken our mortal bodies, as Romans chapter 8 puts it, and we'll walk into the new heaven and the new earth. But you're as good as there. It is as good as happened. We're not a people of the flesh. We're a people of the Spirit. And now our wait is to learn to walk in the immensity of who we have become in Christ. That's all the preaching we'll ever do from this pulpit. I'm learning to walk in the immensity of what I'm trying to be. No! That's where most preaching lives. We're learning to walk in the immensity of who we have already become in Christ. It's who I am. Amen. It's like living in abject poverty, and that's all we've ever known. And we've never owned a car. We've always had borrowed whole shoes and all the rest of it. And one day you receive an inheritance to the tune of untold millions, and now you've got to learn a whole new way of living and responsibilities. There was a day, and for years it wasn't the case. You searched every day to see what you could find in the trash to eat. You avoided the police in case they thought you were a vagrant. All you were was a very poor man. And then the inheritance came in. Those lawyers came to see you and said, "Old Tilly's dead. And you're a rich man." And you say, "I don't know what to do with this." I've never had even five-fenced shorts. For income tax, I've never even earned enough to pay income tax. Your world changes. You see, I tell you today, you were of the flesh, and now you're of the Spirit, and that's how radical and so much more the changes that have taken place. And I'm going to read that sentence to you again. If you don't learn to walk in the immensity of who you have become in Christ, you will have a distorted cosmic view of life. You will have a distorted cosmic view of life because you'll be listen to this. You'll be a Christian. You'll be a part of the new creation, but you'll be seeing life not through the eyes of new creation, but through the eyes of who you were before you were saved. Now, that's so big we could go home now. Which arrests you. You say, "Dear Lord, am I doing that?" Am I? Do I have a distorted cosmic view of life? Wow. That's why I said the just shall live by faith. I have a distorted cosmic view of life. I've been saved. I'm new creation. I will rise in the resurrection. My body will be quickened to match up with my spirit man. And I am living every day with the mentality, with the understanding, with the philosophy, with the wisdom I had before I got saved. I just don't do the things I used to do. And I've cleaned it up within reason. And I'll tell you what, most church members are like that. They are saved and they clean up their act a little bit as much as possible to fit into the yeas and the nays of that community of believers. But they live with a distorted cosmic view of life. They live with a distorted cosmic view of life. They might as well be a member of the old cosmic family from which they were taken and out of which they were adopted. I wrote this down when I was ministering about this. You don't have a heart for what's not in your heart. You don't have a heart for what's not in your heart. And if you haven't let this cosmic shift slip from your head to your heart and gotten faith for it, you don't have a heart for what's not in your heart. You've still got a heart for how the world reacts. The old cosmos. You've still got a heart for how your mom used to react, or your dad used to react, or your school used to react. It's got to get in your heart, see? And no one can make you do it. That's why I say you can spend your entire saved life in church singing and praising God, and you pay your tithe and give offerings, and you hear the word of God, and you say, yes, I believe that. Yes, I believe that. But there's not been a cosmic change in your heart. And what's not in your heart can't direct your life, because out of the abundance of the heart, guess what happens? The mouth speaks. The Bible says, as a man is in his heart, so is he. So what if the so is he, what if the so is he is all about what you were, how you used to think, how you used to respond, what you used to appreciate, how you used to live, what used to be important to you? What if all that's still in place? You see, that's why I've given you these 10 principles that guide Christ's new humanity, was I fear that you will have a distorted cosmic view of life unless you have made the change in your head and your heart to suit the fact, as number one reads, every believer is now of the spirit, whereas they were of the flesh. There's got to be a shift in you. You got to see it and understand it in your head and let it in your heart. And the amazing thing is when that starts to happen, you start waking up to stuff, saying, wow, I'm reacting like a nice guy, not a spiritual guy. Well, I'm doing what I've always done when I just read over here that this is how he did it. I haven't made this shift in my head, let alone my heart. Why did I go to Bible college? Well, I had nothing else to do. My parents were missionaries. No, they weren't. They were heathens. And I had plenty else to do. I just started a career in a very important business, as you know. I turned my back on all of it. I said to God, I got to know what this thing is all about. These 10 principles here, well, they just sum it all up. And they should make you shake and say, my God, this is what I'm all about. Yes. Break loose. Break out. Amen. You should be going to bed at night saying, God, you'll have to do something to quieten my soul, because if I get any more excited, my left foot's still shaking. It wants to get me out of bed and get me going. Dear Lord Jesus, what do I do with all of this? Amen. Oh, yeah! That's how you get on the cutting edge of what the Holy Ghost is wanting to do in everybody's life. And you know what it looks like, and I know what it looks like, and my friend, he said he would be a wellspring in us, bursting, gushing forth unto everlasting life. It's interesting that, because you have to think about it. So the Holy Spirit, and it tells us, it's the Holy Spirit is talking about this wellspring of life. And practically the Holy Spirit in us is supposed to start like a little well, sort of certain dig to a certain level, and there's so much water, you're going to pump the stuff out. But you dig deep enough, and you don't need that pump anymore. Matter of fact, you'd better seal that well, because it's going to go right up into the sky like a geyser. And I'm telling you, I genuinely believe that, and I've prayed that every year of my life for decades. My God, the wellspring, the gushing. My God, the wellspring and the gushing. That's what life's all about. That's what he wants to do. And you get on the front edge, but it's not just an emotional thing. It's not just a mindless enthusiasm. I hate mindless enthusiasm. This is not a pep rally. It's a celebration of new creation life. And I've had a cosmic shift. I don't have a distorted view on life. My view on life has changed. And I'm saying, oh, God, I got the rest of my life to learn more about this thing.
Yes.
I don't know what to say or do. These 10 principles, when you don't look at them through the old cosmic viewfinder, but you update them to where we are as a body of believers, to what God has done in our lives and shown us, all of a sudden you start saying, oh God, this is the richest, sweetest time of my life. And at the same time, oh praise God, you don't have to prove to a real believer there's a God and there's a devil. Was at the same time he's doing all of this marvelous stuff in your life and you've never felt so good. The devil's throwing cheap shots at you. He's making you upset about this and you've got a pain in your hip. Then you've got an attitude in your mind. Then you're not too sure. Let me tell you, he's a get out of bed and laugh and say, hi, you've stuck with that junk. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself that I might finish this fight. I'm headed for the shout. One ear is listening for the shout and the other ear is listening to the Holy Ghost. There's no other ear for you. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. This is not a pep rally, folks. It's communing with the living God as his new creation, destined for the resurrection and the rising up. And I say, my God, I just said again this morning, for me to live as Christ is die is gain. And I don't want to be down here 3 minutes after I'm needed, 3 minutes after I've done my assignment. I don't need to be retired by the shore or in the mountains. Get me out of here. If I'm done, I'm gone. Because I believe, and I know you believe. Oh, yeah, you do. I know you've seen, I know you've heard, and I know your heart's filling up more and more to where sometimes you can't even contain it. And I say, let it out. I say, run with it. I say, kick out the old distorted cosmic view. It's a lie. Don't give it a minute. Don't give it a second. Renew your mind. Transform your life. And rise up and run with God with shouts of grace. Grace, grace, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I love you and I'm proud of you. Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. We bow our heads before you, God in heaven. And your ministry in us tonight, today has been big, Holy Spirit. You're working big things in our lives. And I know you want to give your people an opportunity right now to kick out the old distorted cosmic view of life and embrace the learning to walk in the immensity of who they have become in Christ. To learn it in their heads and to believe it in their hearts and to fill their lives with it. And if that's your prayer right now, just tell Jesus, Jesus, That's my prayer. I'm kicking out the distorted view with a new enthusiasm, a new excitement. I will not have a distorted cosmic view run my life. It's a lie. It's a crazy way of looking at things. I'm not saved. Lost, I'm saved. I know better. I choose to learn to walk in the immensity of who I've become in Christ. Help me today, Holy Spirit, for surely, 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 this marvelous thing is so. And I want to live it. I want to live it. I want to live it. I want a heart for it. And so I open my heart to it right now. And I say, change heart. In Jesus' name. And I let go of the old view. I kick it out. I choose to replace it with the new view. In Christ. In Jesus' name.